Arizona News Radio. Traffic again moving on I-10 westbound in Phoenix after a tanker hauling kitchen waste is involved in an accident and overturned.
It's very stinky out there. It's not a hazardous waste spill, but it's dealing with some really foul-smelling kitchen waste.
House Minority Leader Chad Campbell has a gun violence issue. He wants background checks of buyers at gun shows included.
Unless you're a criminal, unless you have some mental health issues, if you are a gun owner, this will not take a gun out of your house. It does nothing. It will not propose that. It protects the Second Amendment.
Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio's introducing posses at some schools in areas where they have jurisdiction. Phoenix police arrest three suspects for stealing mail in a big identity theft operation.
There were several stolen credit cards, checking accounts that had the original victim's names on them.
And Arizona's weather is going to get cold.
We're expecting multiple days, from Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic report is brought to you by EV Lane. We got an accident in Phoenix blocking the HOV lane and also the left lane, I-10 eastbound, east of 7th Avenue. Also got a collision right lane, loop 202 westbound at 24th Street. If you're traveling to Scottsdale, watch out for a fender bender, loop 101 southbound at Indian School Road. With offices in Phoenix and Denver celebrating 50 years of great creative and brand building ideas, EB Lane, still Mad Men for all these years. Go to eblane.com. Now let's have another check on your forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. One more pretty nice afternoon tomorrow before this Arctic blast reaches Arizona. Let's call it 69 degrees. Very windy tomorrow evening as the cold air rushes in. Friday's only 51 and Saturday 49 with freeze warning Sunday morning. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thanks, Jimmy. Currently Midtown at 71 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Dustin Kapp and you're up to date.
Geico says, let's make life simpler.
It's ironic. Sometimes technology makes life more complicated. Take your TV, for example. How many remote control devices does it take to change a channel? Geico, on the other hand, makes technology work for you. Your laptop, smartphone, tablet. No matter what device you have, no matter where you are, you're never more than a click or call away from Geico. It really is as simple as that.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Because Jan switched to Geico and saved hundreds of dollars on car insurance, her savings account wants to take her to a fireworks show. But it can't. It's a savings account. It can't read where the next fireworks show is in the local paper. Switch to Geico, and every time you see extra money, you'll know your savings account wants to take you to a fireworks show. But remember, it can't. It doesn't know how to read. It is, however, happy that you're saving money.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Independent Talk, 1100, KFNX.
Strickland, you are out of order!
When I grew up,
you're out of order!
I want to be a lawyer just like you.
You're out of order!
Good for you, son.
The whole trial is out of order!
If there's one thing America needs,
they're out of order!
It's more lawyers.
Oh. Got my
pride. Welcome to Legalese. This is your host, Jack Willinchek. And the topic for today's show is something that's been all over the airwaves for the past few weeks. You know, we here in the studio were just saying, man, it's like you couldn't hear anything about anything else. And it's popped right back up in the news because I think it was just yesterday was the anniversary of the shootings down there in Tucson. If you haven't guessed already, we'll be talking about safety at our schools today. We'll be talking about gun control and what we can do to keep the schools safe. I have here in studio Kevin Quinn, who's the president of the National Association of School Resource Officers. That's an organization that trains law enforcement to educate, counsel, and protect our schools. Also, Andrew Morrill, who's president of the Arizona Education Association. The Arizona Education Association was formed in 1892. Wow, it's older than our state.
Older than the state, that's right.
And advocates for quality education in Arizona's public schools. And I believe we also have on the line Chad Campbell, who's the Arizona House Minority Leader. State representative from District 14 since 2007. Chad is a member of the Higher Education Committee and was formerly the Community Outreach Director for Children's Action Alliance. Chad just proposed an initiative called the Safer Schools, Safer Communities Initiative. Chad, are you there on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Let's get this started. I'm going to just ask you to explain what the Arizona Safer Schools, Safer Communities Plan or initiative is.
Yeah, it's a comprehensive approach to addressing, I think, all of the issues you highlighted. Some of the gun violence we've seen, the school safety issues, everything that we've been talking about, in particular these past few weeks and over these past few months, trying to address some of those concerns. And it's really a three-part proposal, one focused on making our schools safer, giving them the resources they need to prepare their campuses and protect their students, and putting more mental health and counselors on those campuses as well. The second part is funding mental health programs, which we've done a horrible job at here in Arizona for quite some time. I think identifying potential or identifying people with potential mental health issues is a huge step in addressing these violence issues. And then the last part of the proposal is reforming gun laws, and it's taking a common sense approach to making sure that the wrong people don't get guns, and that's the key. Protect the rights of responsible gun owners, but make sure the wrong people aren't getting their hands on weapons.
You know, one thing I want to bring out as the show goes on is that, you know, there's been a lot of proposals to do something about this issue. And, you know, I know just being a lawyer, I get the press releases from the AG's, the Attorney General's office. I know that Tom Horn has a proposal of his own to basically arm a staff person or administrator at the school to deal with any emergency that comes up. I'm guessing that's kind of the cheaper option of dealing with this problem. And Chad, what you're looking at is more of a long-term solution that would actually bring in funding to the schools so they can get some real security, so they can get some real security officers. Is that a fair characterization?
Yeah, what we're talking about, and I'm sure both the guests in studio will want to build on my comments, but what we're talking about is funding the school resource officer program. It's a program that exists. It puts trained law enforcement professionals in the schools, in the school districts. They work with the teachers, they work with the students, the parents, the administrators, to make sure that the schools are as safe as they possibly can be. And I just want to backtrack to the comments about Tom Horn's plan and Paul Bavue's plan and, to some degree, Sheriff Joe's plan. Arming teachers or arming volunteers and giving them the responsibility of patrolling our schools or quote-unquote protecting our schools is a horrific idea for many, many reasons, let alone the fact that I think it will only create more dangerous situations on campuses. But nobody that's put forth these proposals has answered the question that I keep asking, and that is, what happens the first time a teacher accidentally shoots a kid, or the teacher shoots another teacher, or one of these volunteer posse members shoots a parent by accident? What happens when that takes place? I think we all can imagine what would happen, and none of us want to see that take place.
Yeah, you know, while you, as you talk and you mention you talk about Tom Horn and I guess Paul Babos and I always mess up his name, but Sheriff Joe's plan. I see the guys in here shaking their heads. I don't think they think it's a very good plan either. And you know, we'll talk about that plan as the show goes on. I think it's good to have a little bit of debate here. And by the way, if those of you in the listening audience want to call in, I'll throw out the number at 602-277-KFNX. That's 602-277-5369. Let us know what you think about Tom Horn, Sheriff Joe, Paul Balboa's plan to arm school personnel, to have the principal walking around with a gun. Or I think that, to be fair to the plan, it's not that they'd be walking around with a gun, but they'd be trained to use one, and that the gun would be stored in a locker on the campus. But let me ask you guys in studio, by the way, in studio, as I said before in the show, we have Andrew Morrill, who is president of the Arizona Education Association, Kevin Quinn, president of the National Association of School Resource Officers. Let me ask you two, what problems do you see with a plan like that?
Well, Kevin's the expert representing the school resource officers. I can tell you as an educator, and I taught high school English for 17 years in the Marana District. I'm also a gun owner, and I've grown up with guns. My father was in the Marines. He taught me gun safety. I've been through certified programs, and knowing both the world of firearms ownership and responsible firearms usage and safety and the world of education, as a former English teacher and a classroom teacher, I don't want guns on campuses. I don't think our teachers want guns on campuses. It's the wrong instrument in that setting. Now, where we've seen things work is with a fully trained law enforcement officer acting in the position of a school resource officer, and you've got the national spokesperson for why that's such an effective program right here.
Yeah, and you're pointing over to Kevin Quinn, president of the National Association of School Resource Officers. Now, before I ask you to comment here, what is a school resource officer?
Well, a school resource officer is a, like Andrew said, a fully trained, sworn law enforcement officer from the local jurisdiction, be it the city police department or the county sheriff's office, assigned to a school on a full-time basis.
Right. So what you guys are basically saying is you would rather see school resource officers, meaning fully trained people on campus for security, rather than this competing plan from Tom Horn and Sheriff Joe to just arm a school staff person. You'd rather see a school resource officer on these campuses.
Absolutely. The position of the National Association of School Resource Officers is that the only person on the school campus that should be carrying a firearm is a fully trained, certified police officer, ideally a school resource officer and properly trained as a school resource officer.
Right. And Chad Campbell, Representative Chad Campbell here on the phone, you're saying earlier that your initiative, your plan is basically to make that happen, which I take it will require some degree of funding.
Yeah. Of course, everything requires money.
Yeah.
And so what we're looking at doing in regards to the school safety program and the school resource officer program is kind of twofold. We want to triple the money from the high water mark of a few years ago, which was $8 million for the program. We want to basically triple that up to about $25 million for the school resource officer program itself. We then want to add another program that will fund districts and schools and allow them to do risk assessments and emergency response plans for their schools in conjunction with the school resource officers and law enforcement officials. And then once they've completed that process, we'll have another fund called the School Safety Fund with hopefully an initial amount of $20 million in it. The schools can apply grants to get facility upgrades, be it cameras, gates, whatever it may be, things that they've identified as needs for ensuring their campuses are safer. And this does require money. We've identified various pots of money, be it from tax reform proposals, be it from reforming some or ending some tax credits that we just don't think are working to fund these programs. And keep in mind, we have over $1 billion in surplus revenue coming into this year's session. So we do have money, and I think funding schools, it should be our number one priority.
Okay. All right, we got to take our break here, but this is Legalese with Jack Wilenchek. We're talking to Chad Campbell, Kevin Quinn, Andrew Morrill about the issue of safety on schools. We'll be right back from the break. Wilenchek & Bartness, recently named Arizona's top real estate law firm, provides the quality business litigation and mediation services that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Dennis Wilenchek was voted best trial attorney by Arizona Foothills Magazine 2013 and named one of Arizona's top-rated lawyers. For professional, yet very personal legal representation, call Wilenchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Friday, January 18th, join head coach Sean Miller and the nationally ranked U of A men's basketball team for the 26th annual Tip-Off Taste. Enjoy catered cuisine, a silent auction, and a chance to meet the team. Net proceeds will fund scholarships for the best and brightest Maricopa County High School seniors looking to attend the University of Arizona. Friday, January 18th, from 5:30 to 9:30 p.m. at Chase Field. Visit uatipofftaste.com. uatipofftaste.com.
Hi friends, Scott Luther, the king of gold and silver. Join the protest against Wall Street. Buy silver. Why? Silver in long term will outperform gold 3-1. The world's best experts on our roundtable panel, Mike Maloney, invests 90% of his net worth into silver.
I'm a precious metals investor. My only investment is gold and silver. I'm fully diversified. I've got both gold and silver. Mostly silver. About 90% of the cash that I have, I buy silver.
Mahoney predicts silver to hit $1,500 in the long term and over $100 by the year's end. Call me and lock in this non-confiscatable silver at only 1% over dealer's cost. Call before the silver supply is gone. 1-888-551-2646. I pay for shipping. Hurry. Turn $10,000 into $50,000. $50,000 into $250,000. 888-551-2646. Hi-ho, silver away.
Every day is a holiday in Healthy Habit Health Food Store, 6029 North 7th Street. Tune in to Healthy House Call discussing the latest breakthroughs of integrative medicine. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 a.m. and call with your questions, 602-266-1000. Discover world-class physicians, medical researchers, Hollywood celebrities, professional athletes, and testimonials from our patients and consumers of natural products. Call 602-266-1000.
Hey everyone, it's Edward Woodson inviting you to tune in to the Edward Woodson Show. With me, your host, Edward Woodson. We'll talk business, politics, and the things that really make you mad.
Catch the Edward Woodson Show. Weekdays from 5 to 6 a.m. Only on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
I'm Edward Woodson, and I'm so mad!
Welcome back to the Legalese. This is your host, Jack Willinchek. And on today's show, we're talking about what we can do to really help the safety and security of our schools. I mean, you know, we've had way too many problems. I think the things are reaching kind of a tipping point. And I think everybody in the room agrees we have to do something. But the question is, well, what are we going to do? I mean, what can the state afford? You know, what's the comprehensive solution? For a long time, you know, there's been something called resource officers or school resource officers. That they're basically, you know, rather than go on and explain, I'm going to ask our guest here, Kevin Quinn, president of the National Association of School Resource Officers. What is a school resource officer?
You know, like I said, it's a fully sworn law enforcement officer that works for the local jurisdiction, either the city or the county, wherever the school resides, assigned to a school on a full-time basis. Now, a lot of times, you know, in recent weeks especially, people are thinking, you know, we'll get armed security guards. Is it the same thing? Or we'll hire officers to sit out in front of the school, you know, and make sure everything is okay. That's not what a school resource officer by definition is. NASRO, the National Association of School Resource Officers, we call it the triad concept. First and foremost, you are a law enforcement officer. Second, we do teach law-related education in the classrooms, getting in there, dealing with kids more on a personal basis. Instead of having 1,000 kids walking up and down the hallway seeing you, now you're in a classroom dealing with the kids on more of a one-on-one basis, and they kind of see you with a different light. And then the third side of the triad is being a mentor or a counselor for those kids when it comes to any law-related or legal issues that come up. I mean, kids do run into issues at all different ages, and they've always got questions and everything else.
You say at all different ages, because what I'm thinking of when you describe that is probably somebody who would be in a high school. But is there such a thing as a school resource officer who goes into an elementary school or younger even?
The majority of school resource officers are assigned to the junior highs and high schools because of all the different aspects of the job and prevention, education, everything else. Junior high and high school is the age where you're going to have more issues to deal with on the campus, because one of the other jobs that you do on the campus, you are the police officer for that school. That campus becomes your beat. Just like a patrol officer driving around, you know, maybe 2 square miles, that's his beat, and he's responsible for everything inside it. We're responsible for everything that goes on inside of our school. So be it theft reports, you know, assaults, fights, you know, kids smoking in the bathroom, things like that. Anything, any sort of criminal activity that happens on the school campus, they don't call 911, or you don't call the non-emergency number and have a patrol officer respond. We take care of those incidents as well.
You know, Jack, if I can jump in.
Yeah, go ahead.
As a former classroom teacher, what Kevin's describing begins to sound a lot like a kind of a partner on the faculty.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that comprehensive approach, doing some classroom instruction, working with administration, working with the counseling department, working with the classroom teachers. It's kind of the difference between a substitute who may come onto a campus 1 or 2 days, is comfortable in a classroom but doesn't really know the school, as opposed to a full member of the faculty that gets to know the climate and the culture, can look across the common area of the school at lunch and kind of know the behavior patterns that are likely to develop. Because not only is a school such a different environment than a normal business or any other aspect of the working world, but every campus is a little bit different too. I taught in 2 different high schools in the same district, Marana Unified School District on the northwest side of Tucson. And Marana High School was a very different environment than Mountain View High School was, with different populations. So I think it's that comprehensive approach not only with the SRO in a school that is so far beyond some of these other ideas we're hearing talked about, a minimal amount of training that may sound appealing, but really is really more creating a bodyguard situation out of an existing teacher that is just not the answer and is really going to cause more problems. But it's also the comprehensive nature of what Representative Campbell's proposing, or what research says really works, which is anti-bullying campaigns. You look at the number of students who have committed violent acts on schools, school grounds, and there's an alarming pattern of these students having been harassed and bullied and coming back for the most violent kind of retaliation. Anti-bullying campaigns, working to spot problems, conflict resolution. As Representative Campbell mentioned, the resources necessary to diagnose, spot, and intervene in developing behavior patterns. What did we hear about Jared Loughner in Tucson in the weeks and months after that unthinkable event? What did we hear about the shooter in Newtown? A demonstrated pattern of violent behavior that had everybody concerned, but nobody quite knew what to do about it. And as Chad said, you know, in Arizona we're especially sensitive to these things, but these strategies, these resources cost money, but it's always amazing to me, and it's amazing to educators I talk with on a daily basis, when these things hit the headlines and they're in the news, everybody stands up and takes an oath about how unthinkable and how awful and what a tragedy these are, and I believe those are genuine sentiments. But when the dust settles, not much changes. And it turns out that a lot of that was rhetoric, and the minute we start talking about costs and priorities, we hear, well, now wait a minute, well, we're not sure we can do that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. No, it's a sad point to raise, but a very, very valid one. You know, how many of these kind of massacres do we have to have, and how frequent a basis before it builds up to something where somebody does something? It's just sad to see, and I absolutely agree with you that people's heads, you know, seem to turn away and they lose interest unless shows like this one bring the point out there and you know, force people to think about it. And on that note, what we're talking about here on the show and earlier in the show is that Representative Chad Campbell is proposing something called Arizona Safer Schools, Safer Communities. Chad, you know, you mentioned earlier that part of this plan has to do with it's a very comprehensive plan because part of it has to do with dealing with mental health issues, not just with security at the schools. And I'd like to ask you just to explain a little bit more about what the plan would do on that front.
Yeah, so beyond going beyond the school safety program aspects of the plan, we do two things that I think are important. We talk about funding mental health programming, both Medicaid funding as well as non-Medicaid funding for mental health services. These have been vastly underfunded the past few years. And as the guests in the studio were saying, as Andrew was saying, you know, a lot of these people that are engaged or have engaged in these violent acts are people with issues of mental health, and there's a history there. So we need to fund these programs so people are in contact with folks who are having issues of depression or much worse than that, and we can identify people that may be a threat and make sure they get the treatment and the help that they need so that they don't harm themselves or others. And with that being said, the next step we take, too, is the fact of the matter is right now in this state, if somebody's deemed as a threat to themselves or others and they've been undergoing voluntary treatment, they can still get access to a weapon, and that's very problematic. So my proposal would put an end to that as well. If you're going through treatment and a professional healthcare provider has deemed you a threat to yourself or others, you can't get a weapon. You can't buy a weapon. If you have a weapon and it's known that you have a weapon, you have to give up that weapon to law enforcement until you go through the treatment you need and you're deemed or cleared, I guess I should say, by your health provider. And they say, look, they're no longer a threat, and you can get that weapon back. And again, we're not trying to infringe on anybody's Second Amendment rights here. We're talking about safety not only for the community as a whole, but for themselves. And I think that this is a proposal that is long overdue. And we've seen cases over the years, time and time again, where people have got their weapon handed back to them after they've been identified as a threat to themselves or others. And they've either harmed people or they've killed themselves, and that's something that has to stop.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you talk, a lot of this just seems so obvious. You kind of wonder, well, why hasn't it been done? Especially a lot of the issues with, you know, handing guns right back to people with mental issues or mental problems, and You know, what can you do except shake your head and try to support legislators like you, Mr. Campbell. They're trying to fix it. Bring it back though to the school security issue. I think part of your plan here is to double the number of school counselors, which I think is also towards that same front of helping people with mental issues and helping spot those issues or identify people in the school who could cause a problem. Am I reading that right? That's part of this.
You are. Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
You know, the way that can look in a curriculum, Jack, is you were talking about where these SROs are normally deployed, and as Kevin was saying, it's usually middle schools and high schools, but you can build into a curriculum at the early grade levels the idea that elementary students work to resolve conflicts and problems using their heads, sitting down, talking reasonably, that they don't resort to arguments, fights. Fights on campus in an elementary setting might look harmless enough as opposed to an all-out brawl on a high school campus. But those behavior patterns form early on. And what I
see,
as a former classroom teacher, what I see in this safer school, safer communities is enough of a comprehensive approach where districts, and I think this is part of the point, districts could design the safety plans at the governing board level, talking to parents and community members.
I hate to cut you off. Yeah. We'll come right back to this because we've got to take a break. Jack, we'll check KFNX 1100 AM.
Dennis Miller, Mike Huckabee Middays, Lars Larson Afternoons, Michael Savage Nights on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
NBC News Radio, I'm Marlis Majerus. Just weeks before the deadline set by the president, Vice President Biden held the first meeting of his task force targeting gun violence. NBC's Kristen Welker says he met with victim groups and gun safety advocates.
He said that the president is considering taking some executive actions. He said he's not sure what those actions are right now. And we also expect some legislative proposals, stiffer gun laws, including banning assault weapons, banning those high-capacity magazines.
Tomorrow, the vice president meets with the NRA. In New York this morning, at least 70 people were hurt, 11 of those seriously injured when a ferry crashed into a dock in Lower Manhattan.
Everything was normal. We rolled in slowly like we normally do, but it didn't stop this time.
And the next thing I know, I was six feet in the air. Yeah, I woke up from being knocked out.
An investigation is underway into how it happened. This is NBC News Radio.
Arizona News Radio, traffic again moving on I-10 westbound in Phoenix after a tanker hauling kitchen waste is involved in an accident and overturned.
It's very stinky out there. It's not a hazardous waste spill, but it's dealing with some really foul-smelling kitchen waste.
House Minority Leader Chad Campbell has a gun violence issue. He wants background checks of buyers at gun shows included.
Unless you're a criminal, unless you have some mental health issues, if you are a gun owner, this will not take a gun out of your house. It does nothing. It will not propose that. It protects the Second Amendment.
Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio's introducing posses at some schools in areas where they have jurisdiction. Phoenix police arrest three suspects for stealing mail in a big identity theft operation.
There were several stolen credit cards, checking accounts that had the original victim's names on them.
And Arizona's weather is going to get cold.
We're expecting multiple days. From Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic report is brought to you by Garmin. In Phoenix, watch out. There's an accident blocking the HOV lane inside the tunnel at I-10 eastbound east of 7th Avenue. Also got a collision loop 202 westbound at 24th Street. If you're traveling to Scottsdale, watch out for a fender bender loop 101 southbound at Indian School Road. Hate traffic? Don't be a hater. Get a Garmin newbie with subscription-free HD digital traffic and avoid it with updates as often as every 30 seconds. Drive with Garmin, the most trusted name in GPS. Now let's have another check on your forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. One more pretty nice afternoon tomorrow before this Arctic blast. blast reaches Arizona. Let's call it 69 degrees. Very windy tomorrow evening as the cold air rushes in. Friday's only 51 and Saturday 49 with freeze warning Sunday morning. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thanks, Jimmy. Currently in Midtown, it's 71 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes of when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk 1100 KFNX. I'm Dustin Kapp, and you're up to date.
Hi, friends. Scott Luther, the King of Gold and Silver, joined my protest against Wall Street and these big bankers who want to steal your hard-earned money.
Listen, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, 12 to 1 p.m., Saturday, 6 to 7 p.m., and Sunday, 6 to 7 a.m. Ride the Scott Luther Gold and Silver Express to financial freedom by buying silver.
Just buy silver. Turn $5,000 into $25,000, $50,000 into $250,000.
Call 888-551-2646, 888-551-2646, or go to lrccoins.com.
Adjusted for Life Wellness Center is your one-stop health destination. We empower our patients to see health and wellness as a lifestyle rather than a quick fix. Adjusted for Life Wellness Center focuses on reversing chronic conditions. We are truly passionate about helping people live healthy lives. Take a good look in the mirror. If poor health is not allowing you to live life to the fullest, call us at 480-802-9977. That's 480-802-9977. Cause and Effect Golf. Golf instruction that focuses on the student. Learn what will work for you. Cause and Effect Golf will properly diagnose your golf game and provide a pathway to your success. Concise, accurate instruction, indoor or outdoor video analysis. Finally, feel what it's like to come in under par. Check out our website. Learn what will work for you. CauseandEffectGolf.com. Golf instruction that focuses on the student. CauseandEffectGolf.com.
State Farm, this is Jessica.
Hey, Jessica, Jerry Newman. Does State Farm offer more discounts to more drivers?
Yep, like the good driver discount.
So it's for good, but not great drivers.
No, Jerry. There's also the multi-line discount.
For calling from multiple lines while driving.
You should never use a phone while driving.
I only make calls from my car when I'm stuck in a ditch or something.
Are you in a ditch?
Yes, I am.
State Farm offers more discounts to more drivers than any other insurance company.
Call Gary Garrett, 480-314-0314. That's 314-0314.
1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. We will not relinquish them. Do you understand?
This is Legalese, where the law is always on your side.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is Jack Wilinchek, and if you were unable to guess from that very cryptic intro, thank you, Robert, our subject for today is school security and what more we can do to protect our schools. Let me reintroduce my guests. We have Chad Campbell on the phone, who's Arizona House Minority Leader, and he has a new plan, a new initiative, to basically a comprehensive plan to solve this problem in our state called the Safer Schools, Safer Communities Initiative. Also in studio here is Kevin Quinn, President of the National Association of School Resource Officers, which he explained to us are basically police officers that stay in the school and treat the school like their beat and make sure it's just as safe as they can make it. And also Andrew Morrill, who's president of the Arizona Education Association, which is an education group that's been around since 1892. Guys, coming back into the show here, I talked about earlier in the show, there is a competing plan to Representative Chad Campbell's plan that has been put forth by, the Attorney General, I know in particular. Paul Babiou in Pinal County. Basically a plan to arm school personnel to deal with an emergency. And, you guys just can't tell me enough about how bad a plan that is. I know, Kevin, you were telling me from the police officer's view that it's just extremely dangerous to have a person on campus with a gun. You describe it as an identity problem. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Well, yes. Say the school that I'm assigned to or any SRO is assigned to, you may know, okay, the principal, Mr. Smith, is the one that's going to have the gun in his office. So if something happens on the campus, there's a critical incident, a student with a gun or anything like that, I know Mr. Smith. We know each other. It's very easy for me to tell who he is in the hallway. When I get on my radio and I call for backup and I've got 6, 8, 10, 12 police officers, responding, and depending on the size of a crisis, you could have officers responding from other cities. They don't know Mr. Smith. And now you've got officers responding to assist me dealing with a subject with a gun on the campus. Now their attention could get diverted to Mr. Smith,
right,
who
right.
is a subject with a gun not wearing a uniform
right.
and not easily identifiable. So the response to deal with the critical incident could be delayed while dealing with an unknown problem, you know, being Mr. Smith.
You know, the way you explain this, it kind of reminds me, you know, we had the PIO from the Phoenix Police Department on a while back, and we were talking about the Trayvon Martin case, and he was explaining just what a bad idea it is for somebody to, you know, who's not a police officer to do, you know, what the guy there did, to follow somebody around, act like he was one. So, you know, and typically the police take that kind of position that, you know, they are the police and they're the ones who are there to keep people safe. It just causes a lot of problems when other people try to take on that responsibility. And for very practical, you know, serious reasons, like you're saying. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, the police show up there and there's somebody they don't know, they don't recognize who's armed, even if it's the principal, that's a major problem. They might, you know, they might shoot him.
Yeah, there's just an unknown. You don't know if that's going to delay the response to assist the SRO or, you know, the innocent victims at the campus. It could make the whole situation just really dicey mm-hmm. and unfortunately, you know, possibly, you know, cause some other injuries.
Yeah.
You know, I know Tom Horn, and I've had many a debate, many a conversation, many an agreement, and many a disagreement with him. And I know that Tom Horn wants to keep students in Arizona safe, and I think you know that's without question. But what I think we get into is that folks that aren't intimately familiar with what really is the culture. And the world of a school, a crowded school where at a moment's notice the bells ring and the hallways fill with students. And when a violent act is committed, that those hallways might be filled for an entirely different reason with students moving about in chaotic fashion. And this idea that the good guy is always going to get the bad guy and the shot is always going to go where it's supposed to go. And of course, it's only going to hit the assailant. Is so far from reality. I taught high school English, and I taught my students to use their imagination, but I also taught them to think critically and look at hard, cold facts when making a case. The FBI has been telling us that more Americans are injured or shot accidentally, and in some cases having their own guns turned on them every year, than actually the number of instances where a gun is used by a civilian to stop a crime. We've got to pay attention to what the world of schools really is. An SRO is a comprehensive part of the faculty, as we've talked about and as Kevin has described. But when we're talking about school safety, we're talking about all kinds of aspects, including, you know, keeping the class sizes that make sense and having the school psychologist and counselor force that we need to be able to read students and know where the problems are developing. And then, of course, outside the world of schools, to know that the citizens of Arizona, in our state's case, have access to mental health care. Those aren't sexy. Those don't make headlines. Those long-term...
That's the basic problem, isn't it?
You know, those long-term solutions are quiet, and they take years to infuse. But you start talking about guns on campus, and all of a sudden everybody's paying attention. The problem is it's the wrong tactic for that crowded, close-knit community.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think you hit it on the head. That's always the problem, is that, it seems like a very very blunt force kind of solution, very sexy solution. Hey, let's give the principals guns. But, you know, as Kevin just pointed out, there's a lot of unknown consequences to that. As you just pointed out, Andrew, that, you know, there are better, longer-term, more comprehensive solutions out there, you know, like the one we've been talking about that Chad Campbell here has been working on, the Safer Schools, Safer Communities Initiative, stuff that we'll get into preventing this kind of thing by identifying kids with problems, identifying kids with mental health problems, and you know, getting qualified personnel on the school grounds, you know, what we've been calling SROs or student resource officers, basically police officers there. You know, I think the bottom line here, and correct me if you think otherwise, you know, Chad, is that this is an expensive solution, but you know, if we're not going to spend money on the kids, who do we spend it on?
Yeah, and again, like I said, we're talking about the total cost of this package is about $100 million. And in the grand scheme of things, let's keep this in mind that we have a $1 billion surplus going into this year. We gave away a $1 billion, in essence, corporate welfare package last year with tax handouts to large out-of-state corporations that I think we need to re-examine. We've funded all kinds of special interest projects over the past 2 years. that really didn't need to be funded to the tunes of tens of millions of dollars. And we have a tax system that is full of loopholes, which is handing out money left and right to special interests, which don't need that money. So there is money in this state. It's a matter of where we want to spend it. And do we want to spend it on our kids, or do we want to throw it away and give it to more corporate welfare? In my eyes, that's a very easy answer. We need to fund our schools, not just on these particular issues we're talking about today, but as a whole, we need to fund our schools. That should be our number one priority. And if we're not doing that, we're doing a disservice to the state and, more importantly, to the kids of the state.
And I'll tell you something. Educators wouldn't mind, and parents, and I think students wouldn't mind seeing a reversal of what the state has been doing, which is cutting its investment in schools. We've cut over $1 billion to our public schools in the last 5 years. You want to talk about keeping a campus or a school safe? Give it the resources it needs to create the fences, the perimeter defenses, the security coming into the school in the first place, the hiring of the staff it needs so that students don't feel like they're just a cog and a nameless, faceless part of a school, but that there are adults looking out for them that really care about them. Schools really can be and should be, and in most cases are, a great place for developing, not just a student but a citizen. But we've been going in the wrong direction in this state. It's unfortunate it came to this context, but at least we're having the conversation.
Exactly. You know, we've got just a little bit of time here before the break, and I know, Chad Campbell, you have to leave us here. So, you know, I'll just let you make your final pitch here to the audience why they should support you in this new initiative, the Safer Schools, Safer Communities Initiative.
Yeah, and thank you for this opportunity, and thanks for everybody for being on the show.
Sure.
I just want to say, is this the perfect solution? Of course not. And is there any such thing as a perfect solution to any problem? Of course not. We're never going to end every act of violence. What I'm proposing today would not have stopped some of the incidents in the past. I'm the first to admit that. But the basic premise of risk management is trying to manage the entry points for risk and trying to mitigate any type of risks that are out there. And make sure that there's the least amount of opportunity
right.
for those risks to take place.
All right, we got to go to a break here, but thank you so much, Chad. This is Jack Wilincheck on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
Wilincheck & Bartness, recently named Arizona's top real estate law firm, provides the quality business litigation and mediation services that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Dennis Wilincheck was voted Best Trial Attorney by Arizona Foothills Magazine 2013 and named one of Arizona's top-rated lawyers. For professional, yet very personal legal representation, call Wilincheck & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
The Musclehead Revolution.
I've got a God thought that just blew my socks off.
When you grab hold of how immense today's truth about God is, you're not going to want to let go of it.
Stuff I don't enjoy, like news and politics.
The Kevin McCullough Show, online at facebook.com/KMC01.
Kevin McCullough, weeknights at 10 p.m.
Ace Automotive at 1730 West Sunrise Boulevard, Suite A105, Gilbert, Arizona, just off McQueen and Elliott. The team at Ace, just what you need when you're having automotive issues. They are dependable and stand by their work. This is PLR of The Cave Show, and I've been a customer for years, and I would never send you to a place that I wouldn't trust. Their number is 480-539-6872, 480-539-6872. Call for an appointment or just stop by Ace Automotive.
Hi, folks. It's Dean Barber. If you've been listening to America's Wealth Management Show, you know about the importance of finding all of your options when it comes to taking Social Security. You also know the total amount of money at risk between the worst and the best time to begin taking Social Security could be over $100,000. To find out how much Social Security you could get, go to SocialSecurityPhoenix.com. That's SocialSecurityPhoenix.com. Then tune into America's Wealth Management Show every Saturday afternoon at 2. Join us and learn about important retirement topics.
Listen to All Things Firearms, Kate Krueger's Talking Guns, at noon every Sunday, right here on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Welcome back to the Legalese on KFNX 1100 AM. And, I hated to have to cut off our last guest there, but that was Chad Campbell, Arizona House Minority Leader, talking about his new initiative, Safer Schools, Safer Communities, comprehensive initiative to deal with a lot of the school safety problems that have been in the news lately. And You know, I want to spend the rest of the show here talking with my other guests here in the studio, Kevin Quinn, president of the National Association of School Resource Officers, and Andrew Morrill, president of the Arizona Education Association. You know, we've been talking over the show about this proposal, which I think, you know, I love if anybody would correct me if I'm wrong, but it basically originates from the NRA, this proposal to arm, you know, school staff or school administrators, meaning the principal or his staff, with guns to stop a repeat of what happened at Newtown. This you guys have been telling me that's just the most dangerous and one of the worst ideas you guys could think of to solve this problem. And I know one of the problems with it that you guys have told me about is that it's very hard to train, you know, your English teacher to deal with, you know, with a gunman. You know, why don't you talk about that a little bit, Kevin? Since, you know, you're a law enforcement officer, you know how to train people, you know, mm-hmm. how much they can really be trained. Tell the audience why that's such a problem.
Well, it's like anything, you know, as we were talking on the break, I've been a police officer now for going on 18 years, the last 12 being a school resource officer. The amount of training that police officers and SROs get in active shooter response, tactics, response options, you know, firearms, use of force, all those different things that are going to have to zip through your mind in a matter of a fraction of a second in the event that somebody in a school pulls a gun or pulls a deadly weapon, and you have to respond to that in the matter of a split second. You know, the training that we go through, it's unmeasurable. You know, how many times a year we have to qualify, you know, several times a year, you know, and you're in service training. And then it's the mindset also. I mean, as a police officer and part of the school resource officer training that we do, and we train new SROs, is we try to explain to new officers going to the schools, there may be a time when, and prepare your mind for it. You know, especially if you work in an elementary school or junior high or high school, you know, the biggest threat may be, by definition, a child. And are you prepared to, and are you going to be okay with, you know, dealing with that threat? And I just don't know if a school staff member, the principal, or the teacher is going to have that mindset to respond properly and quickly and effectively.
And Jack, you know, when I hear that description of the kind of extensive training that a law enforcement officer undergoes, the mental preparation, the physical act of shooting a gun in a combat live fire situation. As I said, I grew up with guns. I went shooting with my dad all the time. I can hit a paper target. Mm-hmm. I can hit it with a handgun. I can hit it with a rifle. It's not shooting back. There aren't 50 other paper targets that look exactly the same swirling around, making it difficult to know which one I'm supposed mm-hmm. to be shooting at. It's not the same. And it's not the mission of our schools either. I'm thinking of the classroom teacher who may have a personal relationship with a person, but he or she is now being asked to engage in combat. It is completely other than the DNA that develops in our educators. But the thing that really concerns me also is that we can't even get the state of Arizona to pony up the resources to train teachers on things like new academic standards. And this is what teachers do.
Right.
We've got a state that's saying we want to educate students to the Common Core. These are newer, better standards. And I promise you they're going to be debating whether or not to fund new training for teachers in the act of teaching. We're supposed to believe that they're going to do something exhaustive and comprehensive to make up for a career of law enforcement training. I don't buy it. And this time doing it on the cheap could cost lives. That's not good enough.
Yeah. That's I like that point. It's very very obvious, a very good point to raise. And you guys were telling me, too, I mean, you know, you've got to say, okay, we do arm teachers, you know, we train teachers, you know, I don't even know how long you could train them for, as you've been saying, but say, okay, you do train them a little bit, you give them a gun. In my personal experience, just talking as regular Joe Blow, most people, you know, the most they ever do with a gun is let it get stolen by somebody who's then going to use it. You know, so you got the same situation there in a classroom.
Yeah.
You know, you got a teacher who's got a gun, and Andrew, you were telling me earlier, you know, you got a situation there that could quickly and easily escalate.
Oh yeah. What's a 5'6", 130-pound teacher supposed to do when the student who suddenly goes ballistic and whose mental issue erupts in violence? Only this time, that high school student, it could be a junior high student, outweighs that teacher by 40 to 100 pounds. Is taller and bigger. And listen, let me tell you something. And having been in a classroom, My students knew where my pens were, my pencils were, the right. tape. If I was carrying a gun on my person, which we're told by some of these people is the only sure way it won't get stolen, great. So now it's on my body. Now it's on my person. And so the training must somehow magically include a way that that gun is never going to be taken from me right. in an aggressive act and used. So now we've got a student who isn't just angry, throwing desks, maybe hitting somebody. Now they're in possession of a firearm that teacher brought to school.
Yeah.
That's unworkable.
You know, yeah, for those of you audience, we're talking about this proposal that, you know, again, comes from the NRA. Guys like Tom Horn have been supportive of to arm staff in the schools. You know, it's cheap, but it's dangerous. It's scary. You know, it's just a bad idea. I don't know any other way to describe it.
And there are better ideas out
there. Yeah, so why don't we spend the rest of the show talking about what the better ideas are? You know, and we've spent, you know, most of the show talking, you know, about one better idea that's coming out of the legislature, you know, which is basically to put more officers in schools,
mm-hmm.
You know, more student resource officers. What other options could there be? I mean, I guess, those are two extremes in a way, you know, just giving people guns and training them up a little bit. And, you know, in the other extreme, you got putting a police officer in every school. So what do we have there in between?
Well, what we really have is that every school in Arizona and every district in Arizona are required by law to have an emergency response plan. Not just fire alarms. People are used to those from their own experience. But when I was at in the Marana District, we trained every year. We went through drills every year on removing mm-hmm. students or insulating them as much as possible from an intruder alert, a simulated intruder on campus. But where that all begins is with conversations between governing board members of that district and community members. Bring in your parent groups. Get some of your educators together. By all means, bring local law enforcement in to inform the discussion about what does make a campus safe. I think that part of the proposal on the table is to ramp up other kinds of security measures like surveillance cameras, like fences and gates and those kinds of perimeter barriers. I remember being at Mountain View, and in the 90s, the fences went up. And where my own two kids go to school out in Chandler, the fences have gone up. And it's a great school, but they're doing what they need to do to build one step at a time mm-hmm. that school safety. So there are a lot of things that can be done. And again, we want to target the anti-bullying campaigns and make sure that we're promoting healthy environments on campuses and the way students get along. And the proper training, Chad's proposal calls for more counselors, a possible school psychologist. There are a lot of things that can be done. There are a lot of things that our schools are doing right now.
No, I couldn't agree with you more, Andrew. School safety is a complete collaborative approach between the schools, the community, the parents, law enforcement, everybody. Everybody, all the stakeholders have a place in school security. It's not just one piece. It's all the different pieces to the puzzle.
Right, exactly.
You know, and as you're talking, too, I'm recalling back to my, you know, hoary days of going to high school myself. And I was going to high school when the Columbine, you know, incident happened. I guess I'm revealing my very young age here. But I remember that my high school, after that happened, started doing lockdowns. That was a new thing we started doing right after that. And, you know, I remember it being a little bit, you know, afraid of it, you know, a little bit worried by it. And I think that goes without saying that a lot of this stuff, you know, is a little bit scary for kids. But there's just no other way of dealing with it. It's just one of those harsh realities that, you know, unless there's going to be a bigger solution here as far as gun control goes, in the meantime, we're going to have to react to it and respond to it and, you know, do things like this to make sure our schools are safe. And, you know, before we close out the show here, you know, we've talked a little bit about some of those solutions. I like the idea in particular of getting school counselors, you know, more active, more actively involved. You know, I think there's just a lot of proactive things that can be done. You know, a lot of proactive things that I guess don't come to people's minds right away. You know, the most obvious idea is, well, let's get some more guns in there. Let's give people more guns. It's kind of symptomatic of the knee-jerk reaction people have this entire issue. And I think what we've been saying here today is, you know, we've really got to put our foot down and find a better long-term solution for what's ailing our schools and ailing our kids. You know, before we take off here, we've got just about a minute before we go to our break, final break of the show. I want to thank my guests, Kevin Quinn, president of the National Association of School Resource Officers, and Andrew Morrill, president of the Arizona Education Association. And I'll just let you guys give a quick, you know, shout out to your groups there. If people want to find out more information about what you do, where can they find you?
Well, you'll find the Arizona Education Association at our website, www.arizonaea.org, and we'd love to have you come check us out. We're your educators.
And NASRO's website is www.nasro.org. That's NASRO.
Great, guys. All right, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
This
is Jack Wilenchek, Legalese, KFNX 1100 AM.
Business Hour, the perfect blend of business and politics. Chamber Business Hour every Saturday at 4 p.m. Brought to you by the North Scottsdale Chamber of Commerce. To be a guest on Chamber Business Hour or to sponsor the program, contact the North Scottsdale Chamber at 480-889-8987. That's 480-889-8987 or visit NorthScottsdaleChamber.org. Chamber Business Hour every Saturday at 4 p.m. Honestly, provocative talk radio on the Lars Larson Show.
These so-called right-to-work laws, they don't have to do with economics. They have everything to do with politics.
Huh? What's he talking
about?
What
they're really talking about is giving you the right to work for less money.
The state of Michigan passing the right-to-work law that says a union can't force you to be a member of the union just because you happen to work in a certain workplace. And now the president is advocating against that worker freedom.
I'm Lars Larson. Listen to me weekdays right here on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. Cave Creek, Phoenix. A division.